He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we are still in this strange time. However, and reading about the car industry, which is partly what this show's about, they are making attempts at figuring out how to restart production slowly and carefully. In the meantime, on other parts of the business, there are lots of headlines in the industry periodicals, one of which says, used car market in strange moment. And for people who want to go buy used cars, not trade their cars in, it might be a good time to try to go attack that particular segment of the market if you can get your car financed and if you have the money to put down or have the credit to get financed. Because the used car market, which has been a robust area for used car dealers and the major car dealerships, is in turmoil, and it's all going to be short-term, because in short-term, we don't know when the short-term is going to end and things are going to recover, but right now, according to the headline I'm reading, or the article I'm reading under the headline, it is a good time to try to buy a used car, because used car values, which have been holding steady, might be softer, because that's what dealers have to sell in many cases. On the other hand, don't go trade your car in because they don't know what to get offer you, because they don't know where your car value is going to be for them on the other end in the future. That's it for this particular topic.
Well, Jay, what's your comment?
Well, I think, yes, that's exactly, I mean, it's a good time to buy, I guess, your first car. It's not a good time to trade in cars, for sure. I don't know what the foreseeable future holds for the car industry as a whole, and you know, on the world stage, manufacturers are having a very tough time. Ford lost $2 billion this first quarter on $34-35 billion in sales, which is down like 15% relative to the first quarter of last year, and that's what we're seeing. First quarter sales, roughly, I mean, the numbers I'm reading are like about 50, you know, 12 to 15% down. But we have to remember that American manufacturers or companies here in the U.S. now are reporting on a quarterly basis and no longer on a monthly basis. The sales figures in Europe for the month of March, are down like 50%. And that's a much more dramatic drop, which, you know, arguably will hold out through April and hopefully start to ease off in May as things hopefully start opening up again. But things will be slow, and what I've been reading, too, is that a lot of the auto supply chain, first of all, is very complicated, as we've said before, but a lot of the smaller suppliers don't have the cash resources or don't have access to capital markets like the big companies do. And manufacturers are struggling to keep their you know, suppliers ready to roll on day one when they start production again. So that's a take on the larger scale. On the more regional and local scale, I think, you know, across these states, you know, dealerships are closed. Mostly, I think, showrooms are closed. You can buy cars online or call in, and service bays are open with some restrictions. And smaller shops are operating, as Robin will be probably more able to talk about than I am.
To that point, I will say that in the dealer's favor, some states have been allowed or have issued new regulations to the dealerships, to new car dealerships, saying that they can reopen their car sales because they're deciding that it is a vital part of a automobile dealership's ability to remain viable. I don't know where that's going to go, because the dealerships may try to do it all online, which takes away away the fun of going in and kicking the tires, so to speak, in showrooms and or you can drive through dealer lots, incidentally, right now. And let me tell you, the dealer lots in our Tarrington dealerships are stocked full of vehicles, really full. And I have noted, because I've been going through my favorite Jeep dealership regularly, that they have received new inventory in many of the lines of vehicles they sell there. And there now a Honda dealership has moved from another part in Tarrington up to next door to the Jeep and the GM parts of the same dealership. But their lots are full of new cars.
It would just seem to me, going way, way back in the day, that you could do it online. By the way, my favorite company, this is my personal opinion, my favorite company, Carvana, is now... Not only have they have to have burnt through any cash they have, but they've just got this last bit in their advertising. You can have your car delivered. You know, it'll bring it to you. And you don't have to pay.
And you don't have to pay for 3 months.
And how
also, by the way, we'll buy your car from you, too. So I don't know where that was an older ad.
This is fairly recent. So I can't fathom. But what I was going to say is back in the day, you used to either if you were, Mr. and Mrs. Richie Rich, you would call up and just order your car and it would be delivered, or you would make an appointment, go into the dealership, and you could sit 6 feet apart from someone.
You are correct, Jill. They have been doing this for years, so this is not anything new trying to sell from a remote location or to a remote buyer.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of cars delivered to me from as far away as Long Island in my car buying career.
So...
Actually, in Fall River, Massachusetts was a case. But in any way, in any point, the Carvana, the whole Carvana thing, just as a sideline to this show, was amusing because I liked the whole idea of cars coming out of a dispensing machine. And that was really the sort of
the old
Carvana ads, which have disappeared in their new ad programs. But you know what? To the Carvana's point, there are some cars running around here that have been purchased through Carvana purchases. And because they have, the license plate frames come with many dealerships' names on them. And so I have come up behind cars, and on the license plate frame, there is Carvana. I have not yet been able to talk to a actual buyer of one because they have not stopped long enough for me to catch up to them and get out of the car and go see how was your experience. But it's fun to see that Carvana has made some inroads into the Northwest Connecticut corner car assortment that we see all the time around here. And I believe I was on the Carvana website last week, and I believe the nearest pickup point is quite far away. It's out of state. I don't think there's a Carvana pickup point in Connecticut, and I can't remember which state it was. But I went through the motions of looking for Jeeps on Carvana, and they had quite an assortment of Jeeps. Cherokees, which is the model of my choice, as listeners know and friends know. But, I don't know whether Carvana is going to survive or not. It's certainly an interesting idea to go watch a car come out of a dispensing machine somewhere in this country, wherever the nearest dispensing machine Carvana is, and they may be further south.
I was curious about the business model. Now that everyone has the same business
model,
there
are more business models than an ant.
That was the reason that I.
I think if there's any market or area where the Carvana model can work, it is in our rural, remote areas where we don't have car dealerships around the corner. I mean, most of us. Here in the northwest corner, northwest Connecticut, northeast if you're on the other side of the border, have to do some traveling to go and shop for a car. And it takes time and more effort than most people are willing or enjoy spending doing. I mean, Robin just enjoys perusing car lots. A lot of people don't like the process, so Carvana is a good alternative. Having said that, I think they're burning through cash, and I haven't followed up on them.
They are burning through cash, Jay.
They are
correct.
Burning through cash, like a lot of people in the auto industry are doing right now.
What I don't know about the Carvana whole program is what you do for service when you buy a car from a car vendor.
You don't need service. You're not going to drive the car.
What?
I'm sorry. I said you don't need. I'm being facetious, but it's one of the things that has always stunned me, for lack of a better word, about the Carvana model, other than the fascination of how the thing comes out of the vending machine, which is what attracted Robin, is the nuts and bolts of it. And as with so many other things, you know, I would say potentially one of the benefits of this global shutdown is that people are going to have to relearn what goes into something. And I say this as I bought my first car in New York City. Robin knows that it was a Volvo. I walked into the deal, and this is my first entry into, I need a car to go to the country. Well, it never occurred to me that I needed about 20 other things to, I mean, yes, insurance, but car maintenance. And I'm just saying that until you actually, you either grow up in a place where you get a vehicle when you have to have a vehicle when you are X years old, or you have your first vehicle as a city dweller, you don't know what goes into it.
Well, my point with the Carvana situation and other car sales dealerships, whether they are part of several scattered about a country or not, is where do you get the cars serviced if they have warranties with them that come out? And Carvana sells used cars. They don't sell new cars. So, but new car, the used cars coming out of there could be a 2019 Jeep Cherokee, for example, which comes with a manufacturer warranty of 3 years, 36,000 miles for the full vehicle, and or 5 years, 60,000 miles for powertrain. And Carvana does not have enough dealership. CarMax, for example, has service centers with many, if not all, of their operations. So if you buy a CarMax car, for example, and you're somewhere appropriately near a CarMax dealership, and that is a question also to think about, you can get your car serviced to CarMax, and they can do the warranty servicing for the life, whatever warranty they're selling with the car, which hopefully would be the remains of a new car warranty if your car was within the new car warranty term period or not.
I think
we don't need to keep going on this point. Carvana is an interesting entity in itself, and as Jay says, it's burning through cash, as many others like CarMax are, and operations have laid off a lot of employees at various levels. The interesting thing I heard on the news in general was, it's interesting that the major owners and boards of these companies, and this goes beyond the car companies, are not losing their jobs. All the jobs are being lost down where the money is needed the most, which is always the case, I must say, to get away a little bit from cars but not wanting to go further.
All right.
Let's go back to cars, because I want to go into the sim racing situation, of which Jay is very knowledgeable, and I am going to put some questions to him, because I decided to look at, you know, the sports world is dead.
Dull.
As far as the real life situation. Everything has now become simultaneous casting or sim racing, sim horse racing, sim soccer games, and I watched three of them on the weekend. And sim car racing got to me because I have never really been able to go on in one of these sim things and watch things, because I don't think my brain can handle it. But I have noticed that, or I noticed in the early stages, that sometimes there seemed to be, at least on the games you could buy for your home computers, there was a delay between the turning of a steering wheel and the actual movement of the car as I perceived it back then. And I asked Jay this morning whether that delay is still there, and Jay assures me that it's not there. If you turn the wheel in, or you push the accelerator, or whatever you do, the car that you are watching on your screen is going to react very quickly. So I watched a NASCAR race yesterday and this morning before broadcast time here, or taping time, and I watched an hour of it, and it was very interesting, because some of the racers have got cameras in their houses and in front of their systems, so that they can flash to the actual racers sitting there in their consoles or in front of their laptops, as the one case kid was, and racing along and watching the focused concentration. But I was watching their movement on their steering wheels. I watched a crash occur in which apparently the crash occurred, Jay, because the steering wheel at the house became disconnected from the console.
Well,
what goes on, Jay? Explain to us, listeners.
Well, first of all, Robin, if you want to know more about it, your desk sits about 50 feet from one of the most sophisticated simulators
I told you
money
my brain
can buy.
Wouldn't survive.
But having said that, yes, there are failures in hardware equipment. And you know, the simulator is nothing but some mechanical wheel and pedals connected to a computer, and every link between the pedals or the steering wheel and the computer is a cable that is likely to fall out of its port, and sometimes that's all it takes. And when you have motion simulators like mine, for instance, you know, cables get jiggled quite a bit, and yes, once in a while, one
disconnect
falls out of its port. Having said that, mechanical failures happen in the real racing world,
right,
too.
Right, tires blow out, so.
Yeah. Is it possible, Jay, that sim racing might survive the return to real racing?
Absolutely.
Is everybody having
sim
a great time doing
well.
This?
If you look at the most popular racing platform in the virtual world, iRacing, has the most popular, maybe not in numbers, but in realism and in realism, and the way competition is organized is companies called iRacing. They're out of Boston, and 100,000 members worldwide, and people have been racing on that platform for 10 years now. It gets better and better. The modeling gets better. And it's gotten to the point now, yes, that professional race car drivers see it as a viable, both not as an alternative to real racing, but the skills involved are similar enough that a competition on a sim reflects well or not on their own driving. And you know, a NASCAR race on Sunday on TV, on eNASCAR, you know, a virtual
that's what
race,
it was.
Gives you a pretty good idea. The same guys who are fast in the real world are usually pretty much fast in the virtual world.
Well, it's interesting, Jay, just to interject before you continue, is the winner of this race looked to me like a kid of 18 years old who was not a named racer, although there were some named racers in the lineup of the 42 cars on the podium or on the track.
And, hate to break it to you, but the best drivers in the world are 16, 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, so,
well,
so what
like
goes on
pilots
in real life,
right,
is not going on in sim life, because the kids can't drive in real life because they're that age group and they haven't learned how to drive tracks, really.
But no, what will be interesting is when they come out. You know, it's one thing to be the best gamer of all time. What happens, Jay? Do we have anyone who is transferred from the sim world, so to speak, to the from the virtual to the actual?
Yes. And there are other skills involved. So a few racing teams and manufacturers have tried taking somebody who has never driven a race car on track and taking them out of a sim when they were highly proficient, and put them straight into a race car. It does not necessarily make them fast race car drivers. There's no success stories of any driver coming directly out of sim and becoming, let's say, a NASCAR champion or an IndyCar champion or a world champion. There is still real-life experience that's not transferable. If only the what I call the fear of physical pain and managing that that risk of, you know, crossing the threshold and crashing.
Exactly.
All you do is hit a reset button.
That's right. And to that end, Jay, my comment goes, is everybody going to want to do that because it's so much less expensive because you don't have car operations and mechanics and pit crews and all that kind of thing?
I went on iRacing, and I've said this before, on a Sunday afternoon a couple of weeks ago, and it was driving in a Mazda MX-5 at Lime Rock, and I was preparing for an event for Lime Rock Drivers Club, actually, and there were over 500 people competing that hour in that particular race. And
wow.
The race was split between, you know, 20, no, there were like 42 different races going on.
Was this during pandemic lockdown, or was it just a regular
yes,
day?
Yes, I think pandemic lockdown has, I know for a fact that people in the sim world have been extremely busy. You cannot find a simulator. I'm trying to put simulators together for a few customers right now, and it is extremely difficult finding the components.
Is there a big run on purchasing the stuff? Because as you can do it right out of your house, as they were showing these cockpit drivers doing. But what does the sim offer that the home, I guess it all costs money to buy the equipment, but what does a sim piece of equipment like you have that I could not set up in my house? The actual cockpit feel of the moving seat and all the track, the bumps
the most
the track
important
and that
components,
kind of thing?
The most important components in a simulator are the pedals, the visual, the graphics, so computer
right.
screen or... And the steering wheel. Those are the three most important components. The rest is add-on, is you know, added benefit or added thrills sometimes, and we can argue whether motion is useful or not, but what you need are good pedals, good steering wheel, and good graphics.
All
right, we've got about 3 minutes left, okay. And I just want to say, you know, virtual is absolutely wonderful, especially now.
In horse racing too, Jill. Have you been watching it?
No, I have not.
So back to real world, if I can,
right.
if I can interject, you know, and for those people who like cars and buying cars, and I know people who just like going out and buying collectible cars as opposed to just buying appliances. I've come across a website, a client of mine. Got me onto it, called bringatrailer.com. And it's an online live auctions of a gazillion cars on the market right now. And right now... All the time. There are, I think, 300
right?
live auctions going on bringatrailer.com. And right now, there are, I think, 50-plus no-reserve auctions going on. And you can buy what, right now I'm just following a 1991 Ford LTD Crown Victoria.
Oh, my God, what a great car.
And the price is $8,000 right now. You can go bid on it. It ends in 4 hours and 40 minutes. You should go.
Highest bid, right? Gets it? Is that the idea?
You just have to bid.
It's an auction,
go ahead
right?
and put $8,250. Robin, and the car is yours, and you'd be driving a Crown Vic next week.
Right, okay.
All right, well, it's a good thing that we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I'd like to interject because it was a beautiful day yesterday, Sunday on the weekend, that is, and people were out and about. Jay and I discussed about whether you should drive or not, and I said, I like to go out and drive. I got to exercise a car or two, and I had a wonderful time. The roads are clear of most traffic, and your car is a safe environment because it's presumably not infected. You're presumably, hopefully, not infected. And if you don't get out of the car, what's wrong going for a 100-mile drive on a country way? The motorcycles were out, Jill, for your information.
I don't need you to tell me.
All over the place. But people's tops were down. I saw MX-5 Mazdas with their tops down. I saw a convertible Corvette. I saw convertible Mustangs. And everybody was having a good time. So spring is here, folks, in this particular show, or is coming, although the weather forecasts are on our program show is questionable about this coming weekend, but get ready to go enjoy your driving. The gas prices have never been lower for many of us in our lifetime, and then they have been right now, and it's a good time.
All right, he is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.